Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Pittsburgh Steelers have settled on their final 53-man roster. We'll break it down step by step, including some of the trades that they've made and some other moves that got us asking questions. All here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, joined today by Jerry Dulac. We're going to be breaking things down. Let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, joined today by one of our esteemed Steelers beat writers, Jerry Dulac, breaking things down on your Pittsburgh Steelers and all things Pittsburgh sports. As always, you can find the show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this YouTube channel to get all of the daily content as well as the Monday, Wednesday, Friday episodes of the North Shore Drive podcast, which is sponsored by our friends at Mike's Beer Bar. Whether you're in town for a Steelers, Pirates, or a Pitt game in the North Shore, there's one place to go, and that's Mike's Beer Bar right across the street from PNC Park. They have the best selection of beer in town. They have over 20 TVs, so you can catch all your sports action and keep up with everything around the world, as well as trying out any of their 500 different available beers at any time. 300 of those beers are local, and 80 of those are local craft beers on tap available right away at Mike's Beer Bar. Get to Mike's Beer Bar today. More on them later. Jerry, you had a busy Tuesday, breaking things down, staying on the phone lines, breaking the news that Kendrick Green was traded for a sixth-round pick. I want to ask you about how the Steelers pulled that off, because a lot of people were talking about how Kendrick Green, man, he's probably going to get cut, or this is going to happen to him, or that's going to happen to him. And the Steelers find a way. Yes, it's a 2025 sixth round draft pick, but they get some compensation for a guy that they looked like they might be done with.
You know, Chris, I was a little bit surprised they were able to get something for him. But I will tell you, even last night, entering into this final day of cutdowns, you have to ask yourself, who has some marketability? Kevin Dotson had some marketability, started 17 games last year. He has some tradeability. Guys who have marketability who they're willing to part with. And Kendrick Green was one of them. Now, did I think they would get something for him? I thought, Maybe a seventh round pick, but the Texans have some injuries, and that's how you make those deals. Who are you willing to part with? And does that player have some marketability with other teams? And that's what happened with Kendrick Green. And so, you know, you look at the Dotson deal, which I thought was a home run for them. Kevin Dotson would have been a nice, solid backup, a 17-game starter last year, but he was going to be a backup. And if you could get a fourth round pick for what was a fourth round pick, you're doing okay. And then on top of it, instead of a sixth round pick, you get a fifth round pick the following year. So I thought that was a really good deal for them. And getting a draft pick for Kendrick Green, someone they were more than likely ready to cut, that's another win for the Steelers. The only chance that Kendrick Green had to stick with this team, you know, that experiment of using him in other places, that had fizzled. That wasn't going to happen. They never tried it in a preseason game. But the fact that he could play a couple positions obviously helped. Steelers' number one objective for any of their backup linemen, of course, except for Broderick Jones, who won't be a backup very long, they all have to be position flexible. And that was the one thing Kendrick Green had at least going in his favor, but not enough for him to make the roster.
Yeah, I agree. You talk about position flexible. That's what they got Spencer Anderson back there, the seventh round rookie, who, as you pointed out, was a camp surprise and earned his way onto this roster. What does it say about the Steelers that they are this confident? You're talking about going into last season, Kendrick Green and Kevin Dotson were competing for the starting left guard job. Both of them had been starters on the offense. What does it say about the confidence in this offensive line now that both of those guys were shipped off?
Yeah, and it's not only the confidence they have in Isaac Siamalo, which you have seen in the preseason. It's the confidence they have in Nate Herbig, who didn't play at all in a preseason, been bothered by that shoulder injury. And, you know, Andy Weidel, very familiar with him from days with the Eagles. And that's the confidence they had in him as a backup, as a position flexible backup, a guy who they had. Now, they know what he can do, but they didn't see anything he could do in a Steeler uniform. But yet, you know, they're fully confident that he's going to be a more than capable backup and a guy who was, you know, enough of a player that they had no problems trading Kevin Dotson.
Wanted to look at the situation with the tight ends real quick before we go to our first break. But they keep three tight ends, which not a total shocker because there was, you know, everyone was talking about the light. You know, you got to keep Freiermuth, got to keep Washington. What do you do with Gentry and Hayward? They let go of Gentry. They keep Hayward, and of course they let go of Rodney Williams as well. Were you surprised that Gentry wasn't on the final 53-man roster, Jerry?
I was, Chris. I had him on my final roster because I do not consider Connor Hayward a tight end. You will not see him line up in Zach Gentry's spot in goal line or short yardage. He's not that kind of player. He is an H-back. They'll line him a whole bunch of different positions, but not as an inline tight end. But you have to – all that points up with letting him go is how much they intend to use Darnell Washington, and you know, whether as a blocker and or receiver. And so Zach Gentry was going to pretty much drop to third-team tight end. All that being said, I'm still surprised they cut him because, again, I don't consider Connor Hayward a tight end, and now you only have two instead of three. And for years, the Steelers have typically – kept three tight ends. Now, as a fifth-year veteran, I'm not sure this rule, Chris. I don't know if he is vested enough that he doesn't have to clear waivers. Obviously, they could bring him back if they wanted to do that. Have I been told that they're planning to do that? No, I have not been told that. But, you know, he doesn't have to go through waivers, I don't believe. So he is a guy that if they had to bring him back, they wouldn't have to worry about somebody else claiming him, I don't think.
That's a good point there by you, Jerry, because when I look at Gentry, like you think about they traded away Dotson and Green, and maybe Dotson I get, but Kendrick Green literally didn't even suit up at all last year. Zach Gentry is a number two tight end with experience. Teams can use that. So it was interesting to me that they didn't try to get or didn't get draft compensation for Gentry like they did for the two linemen they got. And maybe it is what you're saying. Maybe it's that, hey, we got to do this for now, but Gentry might be brought back into the fold, and it's just one of those unspoken things that's sitting out there.
Chris, Zach Gentry was one of the guys who I thought maybe has some marketability, you know, possibly, you know, a big body tight end, you know, played enough the last couple of years, a guy who I thought could have some a measure of value in a trade. And maybe that's why they didn't. Of course, maybe they didn't have any takers either. But it is possible because he doesn't have to go through waivers that could happen. Not saying it will, but it's certainly possible.
We'll keep talking about the final 53-man roster here in the North Shore Drive podcast. He's Jerry Dulac. I'm Chris Carter. But first, I want to remind you guys that this show is sponsored by Mike's Beer Bar. And I'm telling you, you go to the North Shore, you got to go to Mike's Beer Bar. If you're in Pittsburgh, you got to go to Mike's Beer Bar. They have the best beer selection in town, 500 different available beers. Three of them are local beers, and 80 of them are local craft beers that you can get right out the tap at the bar. You can also get a flight to try out any of the options that you can dream of between those 500. And trust me, you won't run out of favorites because I never do, and I'm always there. And remember, they have 20 televisions that you can check out. If you're in for just a great day of college football like this upcoming weekend, you can go right there, sit and catch all the games right there on their 20 different TV screens. And they also have amazing food. Try their steak on a stone for an awesome meal where you choose how hot you want your steak cooked, right on a heated stone right in front of you as you enjoy a night out in Pittsburgh. Come to Mike's Beer Bar and get your sports fix and experience the best bar in Pittsburgh, and tell them Chris sent you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast, Chris Carter, Jerry Dulac, breaking down some Steelers talk here in the 550 on the 53-man roster here. Jerry, I want to ask you about the defensive line real quick. I thought that Braden Fehoko would be a lock for this roster when they brought him onto the team. He was a run stuffer. He was big. He was physical. But he didn't get that guy. They opted for more diverse, you know, or versatile guys on the defensive line, which had me scratching my head. What was your read on how on their decision to keep the seven defensive linemen that they did?
Well, to me, Chris, one of the guy who they were four guys for three spots, and the person to me who was going to lose out was an interior lineman and nose tackle type, because you otherwise you'd have three of them among your seven defensive linemen, and that is Keanu Benton, Montrevious Adams, and Braden Fehoko. I like Fehoko. I think they like them too, but they weren't going to keep three of those types of players out of their seven, and so I wasn't surprised that one of those guys, and it certainly wasn't going to be Keanu Benton, that one of those nose tackle types was released. And my guess all along is, based on the fact that Montrevious Adams has been with this team for basically a year and a quarter, and seeing no slip in what they want to use him for, I thought, and again, when I look back at the game in Atlanta the other night, Chris, I'm not sure that Fehoko played any consecutive snaps until the fourth quarter. And that told me then that he was probably going to be the odd man out.
I hear you on that. It's just, to me, I was just like, wow. Just thinking, if you had told me that back in April, when we were looking at this team coming out of the draft and, you know, in May and the OTAs and everything, I would have been shocked to hear that.
And Chris, we didn't get to see that dance.
That's right. We were supposed to see the Haga dance. That kind of makes me more mad why we don't get this guy to stick around. That is crazy. I want to talk to you about the outside linebacker situation. Or no, excuse me, not the outside, the inside linebacker situation. We were pretty sure about the outside linebacker, but they keep four, and Mark Robinson continues to be the fourth guy. We knew that they cut Tanner Muse earlier in the week. Him and Nick Kwiatkowski, they cut him Kwiatkowski on Tuesday. What does it say about this group and the special teams unit that they let go two guys that were brought in to be special teams inside linebacker types?
Yeah, and it tells me two things: that they like some of the guys they must like some of the guys they have on special teams, but they were never going to keep more than four, and I think those four were probably etched in stone. Certainly the three they brought in free agency, and then Mark Robinson. They really like Mark Robinson. He is as explosive a linebacker that they have. He just has to learn the defense a little bit more, has to be a little bit better in coverage, but in terms of seeking the ball and getting the ball and hitting the ball carrier, he's very good at that. So those four to me were a lock, and I really didn't think they would keep five. And I don't want to say I didn't think Tanner Muse was a possibility. You know, he certainly played nicely in camp, but I never thought that he was going to be one of the four.
I hear you on that. Let's go to the secondary real quick. They keep the obvious corners, you know, Peterson, Wallace, Porter. They decide to keep Pierre because they need another outside option. Shannon Sullivan, their fifth cornerback, but they also keep Elijah Riley as more of a safety option there, along with four other safeties. They let go of Trey Norwood and Kenny Robinson, but they were able to keep, of course, Minka Fitzpatrick, Keanu Neal, and DeMonte KZ, but they also keep Miles Killebrew along with that. So you get five safeties, five corners. What is your outlook on how this secondary is built, especially the depth parts for all the different things they want to do in the secondary?
Well, a couple of things. Miles Killebrew and Miles Boykin, the two Miles, are pretty much locks on the team because they might be their two best special teams players, certainly in coverage. And that's why Miles Boykin makes the team, and that's why Miles Killebrew makes the team. I mean, it's a given. So then you're going – after that, you're going through you're counting down to four safeties. And of course, you have Minka Fitzpatrick. Keanu Neal was brought in to be a starter. And DeMonte Casey is a free safety who can run but is tough enough to play strong safety. I know he's a little undersized, but they played him a little bit there last year in some packages, and they're not afraid to use him. So, and Elijah Riley makes the team over Trey Norwood for two reasons. One, because he will be rotated. He can go play in that slot. He can go be the nickelback. But also Trey Norwood missed a lot of time in the preseason. Mm-hmm. Now, they know he's a pretty solid player. His biggest problem, though, he's not really, he's not much of a free safety because he just lacks speed. That's why he dropped in the draft the year he came out. And you see it. You see it in some of the coverages. He has a hard time catching up once maybe he makes a mistake and covering up, covering his tracks. But Elijah Riley gives him that option of being that that nickel corner. And that was the reason why they kept him. Now, a corner, you'd mentioned corner. Chris, that's the one position. They're not done there. If they see somebody they like on the waiver wire, they're going to go sign him. And that's, and I don't want to get ahead of what we want to talk about, but that's part of the reason, we'll talk about this in a minute, why they did what they did at punter. But if you want to, if there is a position they are looking to add in the next day or two, it is cornerback, because, as you mentioned, James Pierre is the only option they have on the outside. They don't want Patrick Peterson playing, in man coverage on the edge. So if they think there's somebody out there who fits that that bill better than what they have behind the two regulars, which is going to be Joey Porter, of course, and Levi Wallace, then they're going to go out and sign that corner. And then when they do, if they do, that's when they will release Braden Mann, the punter.
That's interesting. So you don't think that Braden Mann's being kept for a trade possibility? You think he's a holding place right now until they make that move?
I don't think they have any intention of getting rid of Presley Harvin. If you look at who handled the punts early on with the first team, it's Presley Harvin. And if you just saw him in camp, those are things I watch, and I watch them because of being a golfer. I watch to see the sound, the thump. I can tell who's punting and kicking just by the sound. The other thing too, when with a punter, you want to see who can turn that ball over and get the nose pointing down. Braden Mann can't do that like Presley Harvin can. And so he gets the altitude, and then he's able to turn the ball over because his leg is just so much stronger. And Braden Mann, I know, has some NFL experience. Not saying he's not very good, but when you look at the competition and you start evaluating training camp and what you saw in the preseason, they don't have any intention. If they would trade Presley Harvin, I would be shocked. I don't think they have any intention of doing it.
Let me tell you, Jerry, that is the first time I've ever heard anyone on the Steelers beat break down punter analysis there, because I don't know anybody that can explain the physics of it. Even me, I'm just like, he punts well, he does it. There you go. That's all I can say. So that's very interesting stuff there.
So I got that going for me, Chris.
Absolutely. He's Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You can find him at post-gazette.com along with our other writers. We're not done, though. We got a couple other things that we'll talk as Jerry moves on. He's a busy man. We got to let him go, but we'll be right back after this break here. But first, I want to remind you, this show is also brought to you by Savinus Kane and Galushi, mesothelioma and asbestos lawyers with over 85 years of experience. Call them now for a free consultation. That's Savinus Kane and Galushi. And brought to you by GameTime.co, where buying tickets for your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. GameTime is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all your sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. Just download the app today right to your phone. With killer deals on last-minute tickets and their best price guarantee that can't be beat, you can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun that you're about to have wherever event you're going to. Again, the Game Time app, which you can download right to your phone, get you exclusive flash deals on tickets for football games, basketball games, baseball games, concerts, comedy, theater events, anything you could think of, Game Time gets you into. And their best price guarantee means that you'll always get the best price. And if you find tickets in the same section and row for less somewhere else, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PITTPIT for $20 off your first purchase, or go to their website, GameTime.co. Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast, Chris Carter, your host here, switching to Brian Batko, another one of our great Steelers beat writers here with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Post-Gazette.com for all that content. Brian, we just got off with Jerry. We were talking about the 53-man roster, but I want to focus on with you about the tone that this new front office continues to set in its early years of being together. Of course, Omar Khan, Andy Weidel leading the way here. And I brought this up with Jerry, but they traded away both guys on the interior offensive line who were vying for a starting spot against each other last year, in Kendrick Green and Kevin Dotson. Dotson moving up a fifth to a fourth and a sixth to a fifth. And then, of course, Kendrick Green getting a sixth-round pick for 2025 there. And you look at these moves, and to me, this seems unique to what the Steelers front office has done, at least in recent years, as it had operated under Kevin Colbert. Whereas, like, if the Steelers had two guys who they knew were kind of like reliable guys on the offensive line, you know, as backups, they might hold on to them a little bit longer and keep them around just in case injuries happen, and knowing that they have those guys there. Instead, they get minor draft compensation, but still draft compensation, and getting stuff for these guys while believing in the other backups they have on this roster. Do you think this signals a new trend that the Steelers front office may be taking with their leadership, or is this something that we have seen before, or it isn't that too far out of the wheelhouse of what they've shown?
I think it could be twofold. I think number one, well, let's just preface it all by saying it could be very much the same as what the previous GM would have done. For all we know, Kevin Colbert would have tried to make these exact same moves, would have picked up these same calls and pulled the trigger on these same trades. But, you know, we don't know that. And I'll just say, from the outside, what we've seen thus far from the Omar Khan approach has been, I think, maybe a little bit more calculated, maybe a little bit more analytical. Just when you talk about, you know, the trade of Kevin Dotson was fairly creative in how he was able to extract some value from the Rams there. I mean, no actual draft asset coming back, but you improve your draft capital a little bit by moving up in those two rounds. And then the Green trade, I mean, I'm not necessarily surprised that another team would want him at this point, because, you know, he does have some physical attributes that made him a third rounder a couple of years ago. I'm more just surprised that any team was going to be willing to trade for him. Now, I haven't looked this up in the last 6 or 7 hours, but I'm going to go ahead and guess that the way that they've been running their organization, Texans probably have a lot of picks. They probably have a lot of picks coming up next year, the year after. They already have a lot of young players on their team that they've cycled in there. So a sixth rounder to Houston in their franchise, not as valuable necessarily to a team like the Steelers, but do you still credit Khan for seeking them out maybe as a suitor and, you know, pressing all the right buttons there? And then the other point that I'll make on this front, Chris, is, yeah, maybe this will foreshadow Omar Khan, Andy Weidel, and their front office being a little less stubborn when it comes to retaining draft picks who either didn't pan out in the case of Kendrick Green, or sort of plateaued in the case of Kevin Dotson. And, you know, again, Kevin Colbert has moved on from players in the past who didn't do much, but this seems like, you know, they were really willing to cut their losses on, kind of as you acknowledge, players, at least in Dotson's case, who have been starters, and in Green's case, you know, only two seasons you get out of him as a third rounder. Colbert always says, if you're a third rounder, you're expected to become a starter at some point in your career. And Green's career was kind of backwards in that way. But yeah, now they're done with that experiment, and they can put that 2025 draft pick to good use.
Right. I mean, we've seen what they've done with, like, you know, with day three guys. I mean, look at Spencer Anderson, a seventh round pick that they spent on a guy who was a versatile offensive lineman for Maryland. And now he's on the roster in place of, you know, of these guys. And he'll have upside as a guy that they can work on. There's no pressure on him to start. And if at worst that he's just a flexible backup for the next 4 years, that was a win of that'd be a win of a pick. So I think that you're right to say that, you know, this is that they're setting themselves up with just future. You know, it may look small, but these type of things add up, and they can possibly even add up to other future moves down the line here. And I think one thing to look at too here is that now that they've done this, what are the moves that you're looking at could be on the horizon for the Steelers? Because the 53-man roster that gets released, you know, now that the final cuts have been made, I put quotations around final, this roster will definitely change before day one of the NFL season even begins. It's just the nature of how these things work. What's the next move that you think the Steelers might make, whether it be a trade or finding maybe a guy that got cut from another team?
Yeah, you're right. The term final cuts is certainly a misnomer. I think the best way to put it is probably initial 53-man roster. And it's in this case, I'd say it's very initial because we know they aren't taking two punters into the season, let alone for another 24 to 48 hours probably. Maybe by the time you hear this podcast, the Steelers have traded Braden Mann. I hesitate to think they could get anything for a guy who was a waiver claim by the Steelers this offseason. More likely, they'll probably make a claim on somebody else. I think they have the 16th or 17th priority around the league. We know that Omar Khan has not been shy about doing that since he's become the GM. So I think when you see that move take place at, I believe you can, you got to do that by noon tomorrow, or I should say noon today when you're hearing this. So that's probably when one of the punters, most likely Braden Mann, will be gone. And other than that move, Chris, I think keeping with the O-line as of now, I believe Dylan Cook, who signed a futures contract in the offseason, had a cup of coffee with the Bucks, converted junior college quarterback. Very interesting backstory with him. A lot of raw athleticism in that 6'5 frame. No guarantee he's actually going to stick around here. He could be a placeholder if they don't swing a trade or claim an offensive lineman who they think might be able to help them a little bit more. The other spot, the other guy who I would put on notice, so to speak, is James Pierre, that outside corner. He's a little bit old for his draft class to begin with. Came out in 2020, stuck around as a special teams demon, and I still think he can be pretty good in that phase of the game. But with the Steelers and the depth chart where they're at, some of the moving pieces, you might want somebody who's a little bit more capable of stepping in as an outside corner if need be. And I don't know that Pierre has been great in that role this summer. So that's one other area where I'd say they could look to upgrade here in late August, early September.
And there's certainly guys out there on the market that could be interesting to look at. Darius Rush, a cornerback that could play on the outside end of the slot.
Pre-draft visitor for the Steelers as well.
Great memory. That's why I was bringing him back up there. Desmond King, another guy that has years of NFL experience who was let go by a team. The thing is that this is now a chance to look around and say, hey, whose tires should we kick just to see how they're doing? Because at this point, again, you're just claiming guys that were let go. You're not losing anything for bringing them in.
Bradley Roby was one, I think. But, a guy like him and King, I think for what the Steelers could use in that position group, you probably want somebody younger, ascending, a potentially rising player with more of a ceiling than someone who's on the downside. You have Patrick Peterson, you have Levi Wallace.
Very true.
In that role. So that's just my take on that.
And that's why I let off with Darius Rush, because he's a guy that
– somebody like him, though, what happened with Darius Rush that he
that's
got
a great question.
Cut already? Obviously, if you're a rookie – with some promise, and you don't make the 53 for who is it, the Colts? Something didn't go too well for you in camp in the preseason.
Yeah, which makes me that is a question there. But again, a guy with size and speed, just throw him in there. And if he stinks, he stinks. Oh well, you spent money on bringing a guy in for a short term thing. It's probably going to cost you very little. So I think that's where the Steelers could get creative to see how things go.
But proverbial one man's trash is another man's treasure. I will remind people, Elijah Riley was a waiver claim last year. It wasn't a cutdown day claim. It was like mid-August, I think, right after they broke camp. But just goes to show that sometimes the Steelers, they scoop up guys like that. And while Riley didn't make the team last year, stuck around all season on the practice squad, and now he's on the 53 and might play a significant role, whether defensively, special teams, or both.
Absolutely. There's a lot of potentials here. We'll see what happens here over the next couple of days. Brian will be back with me on the Friday edition of the North Shore Drive podcast as we continue getting you ready for the first weekend of college football, but the final weekend without NFL football for several months. Can't wait for all this to get going. Brian, thanks so much for joining me here on the final segment of the North Shore Drive podcast. Thanks to Jerry Dulac for joining me for the other two. And thank you all for tuning into the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. He's Brian Batko. We're all from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, post-gazette.com for all our written content. You can find all of our audio and video content on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Just search North Shore Drive podcast or search Post-Gazette Sports and you'll find our channel, which has daily content, but especially our Monday, Wednesday, Friday show of the North Shore Drive podcast. And shout out again to Mike's Beer Bar for being the big sponsor behind it all. Thanks again to everybody tuning in. We'll be back Friday with more here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For 3 months of digital access to post-gazette.com at 99 cents, click the link below in the description.